sure.
First item is approval of meeting of the last I need a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve the minutes.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Second item, public comments or anything that's not on the agenda? Third item, groundwater management, AB 3030. Do you have a balance report?
Just for the public information, President Steve Smalley has laryngitis, so Vice President Katie Fairbanks is running the meeting this evening. Mr. Small can whisper if you want to get close. So, but yes, Madam President, at the previous board meeting, the district held a information session with the possibility of adopting a resolution of intention to form a groundwater management agency. Mr. Paul Hagee came in from the Department of Water Resources and explained the process of how a AB 3030 program is put together. There was much discussion, and the board tabled the matter and felt that additional information needs to be disseminated before going forward on this program. It suggested that we get the people that are interested in this, and maybe a board member or two wish to be involved in with these committees to discuss these matters and how AB 3030 is put together, what the AB 3030 plan does and what it does not do.
Okay, are you setting up a meeting?
Well, we're trying to get a hold of people, trying to get direction from the board. Primary, if they want to be seated on, we need to hold some more additional meetings, either for everybody or just individuals that are concerned, different groups, because different groups are affected differently on the aspect.
I'd like to comment, if I may. I think we need to table this. And table it until such time that all of us understand precisely what we're doing. At this particular time, I honestly don't believe that anybody could really say we are in an overdraft or we are not in an overdraft. I don't think that information is here. But I do believe that we should put this out and table it for at least until we get the information back from the state about a possible overdraft situation. And then further, that we develop study meetings that would include people from the public, that would include board members, and the meeting agendas would be to gain the knowledge that all of us need to ensure that nobody gets hurt in this building. So I recommend that a motion be made to that effect.
Okay. Can I accept that as a motion?
Sure, but I would, there could be one or two ways to do it. We could have a motion and a second, then public comment, or you could take public comment on the open part of the motion. But at some part in the process, before you take a vote, you would have to accept, open it up for public comment.
Okay. I guess we'll...
No second yet.
Yeah, we need
second first. Okay. Do I have a second?
Well, I think the motion should really have a discussion before.
Right.
I didn't make the motion. I suggested that we create a motion. But the creation of the motion then should indicate that somebody would want to comment on it. Are you in agreement with it? Are you not in agreement with it? So let's hear it. You're in agreement with it, right?
Stand up and say your name. And
right. We have a microphone over here.
Okay, my name is Katie Dolby with Allstate Flowers, and what I definitely think that is really important in all of this is that a lot of people from the public just got onto this process a few weeks ago, and we're learning a lot of facts as we go. And unfortunately, the further
older we get, the more scarier we get. And we kind of have the idea that people don't take their water rights away, but bureaucracies do. And the thing here is that we are being told, we've had numerous discussions with Doug Jones, individual board members, that we don't have to worry. And we like to be sure that we don't have to worry. So I definitely agree with what Elmer Simon was saying about that we should try to put this to rest. And I think one of the things that would put it to rest for us right now is the motion, the resolution we send in for the board's consideration is that they even vote upon something that basically says we will not vote on the resolution of improving the Oregon Water Management Commission until we hold at least one more hearing. Because one of the things that has been done in the process when this started is that whether rightly or not, the perception was there, the perception can become reality, that it was potentially being snuck in or not. And that trust was taken away from us, and I think one of the ways that the board can gain some of our trust back is if they would vote on this resolution that we faxed to the office today, that really make sure that nobody can vote on something without us being aware of it. And I think that individually and as a group, we all want to be responsible people about dealing with the water. But at a certain point, what we are afraid of is that if we get onto it, and John Snyder said it very well, if we are if we have to get into a process where we have to get into a car and we don't know where that car is driving, then we're not sure that we even want to get into that car. Then we want to maybe discuss beforehand where is that car going. And AB 3030 management plan is a car that right now raises a lot of dangerous questions. The way we understand it, and like I'm saying, we're running out of
time. Hey, if you extend it 3 minutes, so please. We're going to be here all night if you do that.
Okay, well, that's fair, but I definitely like to say to you that I think it's very important to us as a board get some of our trust backed by indeed not just voting on yes, we'll hold discussions, but also yes, we will not even vote on the resolution of intent until we hold more public hearings.
Well, that's the intent of having the meeting. And we'll get together in smaller groups, and there will be a board member or several board members at each meeting. Then we can get together and we can discuss things like that. But I don't think in this meeting, we're looking now for a motion that will put this thing at rest, and that's what we want to do. But I do take exception to one thing, and that is I don't believe it would serve us as a board if we accepted your resolution. As well as it is written, the board has to write their own. That's an opinion. It may not be carried by the board, but I certainly would make that recommendation.
Okay, thank you. Can you limit it to 3 minutes, please?
Public health and allow the consensus of the body to opposed to what has appeared to be a unilateral effort by NCSB. Certainly, the situation that we're at the Fulham Mutual Water Company is going to be Tuesday, and also the 7:30, and I think we're going to have the opportunity to have heard from him with intentions of particular trips and intent for us to include the Fulham Valley area. So my concern is the funding, and I hope that this board will entertain such a motion.
I don't need a microphone. Sir, just before you start, this goes on a tape, the public record. So,
my name is Lloyd Bailey. And I need to know who can tell me how it would impact my right to continue to use my well to irrigate my walnut grove if you have an AB 1330 groundwater plan brought in. I already have that grove in, and I'm already irrigating it. And it's my well, and it's my thousands of dollars that were invested in that. What happens to me? My next question is this. Looking at overdrafting, are you going to look at the county engineering records on wells? I have a well. They test it every 6 months as to where it, the level is, and I'm not losing water.
Is the board willing to address part of that issue, or do you want to wait till the very end of public comment? I would.
Feel free.
Okay. Number one is, I have to tell you that I'm not the district water lawyer, okay? So I'm general counsel. The idea of creating a AB 3030 district, if you take a look, I passed out an opinion. I think you've all seen literature on it. What's in there says, there are no defined powers for an AB 3030. There is a list of powers that the agency could, and I use that word could because it's not shall, but could exercise. Those powers that are in it that a district could exercise would have to be developed in the, in quote, AB 3030 plan. And this is a complicated answer to your question, I know, but the plan has not been designed. That's what the purpose of the committees would be to design the plan. Quite frankly, with my very limited experience in this field, regulation, the goal of an AB 3030 is to manage. Okay. What your question is, under what circumstances would there be actual water regulation? I think that's probably the gist of the question. Well, that question could only be answered, number one, is if there was a finding by the agency, the AB 3030 agency that was created, that there was an overdraft, a critical overdraft. That's correct. There's a term in there, a critical overdraft. And the agency would have to take a vote. Now, but when you think about that, that would apply to everybody that was on the Mesa. Wouldn't this apply to, you know, things that have to be applied equitably. But the first thing to answer that question, you'd have to take a look at whatever plan was initially devised, and that plan has not been devised. So whatever rules and regulations that the plan would contain would be those rules and regulations that would govern that issue. It is not a people that would jump to a conclusion that an AB 3030, as a matter of course, means water groundwater regulation as far as regulating the amount of extractions. I think that would be an incorrect analysis.
What about use of the county records?
Oh, sure. And the county records, of course, they're used. I think every person or every agency or every that has come out and performed a study of the groundwater up here on the Mesa has used county records. I think that just comes with it. And I'm sure the county, when they put out their annual resource report for the Mesa, uses their county pumping records. And I think that all the published opinions, either from the state of California or the Bookman-Edmondson opinion, has undoubtedly used county pumping records. I personally don't know if they have or not, but it seems to me that any groundwater study of any magnitude would, of course, include the county pumping records. It just seems to me to just be a part of it. I don't know for a fact, but.
Well, my name is John Snyder from Washington County, and I wrote the draft resolution. I just kind of plagiarized that. But I think what we're really saying here, from my point of view, is that we do have a lot of studies, a lot of market conflicting. We do have the county plan, resource plan. The 94 version says everything's okay in the year 2000. The 93 has kind of a different point of view. And so I think what we need to do is to back off a little, and since they're already concerned about the plan, maybe we should sit down and have more of a plan in mind before we proceed ahead, saying we need an 80-30-30 plan, see if we really are in any sort of problems with our water. Because like you were saying, my well, I know it's the best, so why create government? Some government that we're not sure what it's going to be, when we're not even sure we're going to need it. And I think if we just back off here, as Albert Simon is suggesting, sit down and all talk and see where we are, there will be a lot of that can manage.
That very briefly. One is, again, if you address a policy issue, which is bad for lawyers to address, but it's the fact that the golf course is coming in, and what is on the table from the county as far as development on the Mesa and the anticipated water consumption of those types of developments is part, I'm not saying it's all, part of the driving force about taking a look at who should be managing this water basin, the county or the people that overlie it. I mean, that's one key issue that you've raised. Secondly, as you get down into individual regulation of residential wells, which I would want to say, as opposed to bigger wellheads, AB, I think I have the opinion I passed out to the people that's on the first page, is that those individual residential wells can only be regulated or subject to any type of management is that there's a critical groundwater overdraft. So the whole idea of having a management agency, of course, is to avoid that very issue, the critical overdraft. To an extent, but it is. There is one little glitch, and that is that if there is a critical overdraft, individual residential wells can be regulated. But you have to get to that point of a critical overdraft for that to occur.
Usually if there's a critical overdraft, also those individual wells aren't as deep and
they're
going to be dry. When you're talking critical overdraft.
Yeah, they're exempt from the... That's Doug pointed out a good word there. They're exempt from the plan unless there is a finding of a critical overdraft.
And that's the nebulous thing in itself.
Well, it is, but see, it's not determined by the agency. It's determined by the state in that situation. So it's not even controlled by the local agency as to whether or not that condition occurs.
I might comment to you, too, to Katie. Critical overdraft. It depends where you are for critical overdraft.
Sure.
Now, last night my well kind of backed off. It's the first it's backed off in the last couple of months, but it's backed off. So I'm in critical overdraft over on Summit Station. The guy sitting back there lives on Calendar Road. He isn't in critical overdraft. and he hasn't been. But you get one of these agencies and they say we're all on Quiddick or overdraft, they're going to shut us all down. And all you have to do is have some bureaucrat 20 minutes after this thing's formed say we're on Quiddick or overdraft, and somebody like David Blakely's got control of our water, and it scares the hell out of me. If I made a motion, I'd make a motion we get rid of this whole thing now and not go forward at all, just kill it. But I don't think I've got the vote to do that.
My question is, that's obviously two different water systems here. It's not all the same water system we're talking
right.
about. And that's very clear.
Well, if they have 10, you'll find we have two, almost four different water systems. They're all gone. So who's going to determine the overdraft? It's official. And it's the fact that you've got an overdraft because it's commercial consumption. Who's going to control that versus the residential? You cannot control an unforeseen one.
Right.
I don't think this thing's being brought up.
Any more comments? It's up here.
Yeah, up here in the front. Oh, wait, we don't see it.
Donna Melko, farmer in the Pomo Valley. I think that I would like to say that when you reach beyond your borders in an attempt to manage groundwater lands not presently in your district, it seems to me that you need to build consensus before you start to put together your plan, not after. And we would have appreciated some sort of approach by someone in the NCSD just to explain to us what this was going to be about and what our role might be in it, not just find out later that we're going to be a part of it. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Penny Bennett, and I grew up at Farmers Market, and just found out about this meeting, but it seems John said that the driving force behind all this worrying about water is the two golf courses,
no.
The three, and...
One. It's one. There's
one.
Up there. One. There's...
Okay, well, that's the driving force. So isn't that the cart before the horse? And we got the... They're coming in and going to use water, and so we should all be worried that they're going to use up all the water, and then we need to form some agency to manage it. And
well,
if that's such a big worry, why are we having to do it off course? I don't understand.
Well, number one, there's two issues that you bring up, and I want to make this clear that nobody should be conceptually thinking that the golf courses are the only thing that are driving this, and that's, of course, that's not the case. Secondly, is that the district, there's published reports from the state of California and other places that there is an overdraft. Now, people can argue about the capacity of the basin and the extent of the overdraft and whether or not there's an overdraft at all, but there are certainly reports from good engineering firms and from the state of California that there is, in fact, no an overdraft. The size of the overdraft, I would tend to agree there's a variety of opinions out there. And but if you have that condition right now, there is no agency on the mesa that has land use powers. That's typically called the police power. This agency doesn't have it. The only agency that has the ability to regulate land use, in other words, approve development on the mesa, is the county. That's the only agency that can do that. This agency can't approve a golf course on the mesa. The county.
Golf course and more development here, if there is a state notice, there's a critical, we need to
We need to worry about the water situation. The problem is who I guess, if you could take a look at it from a policy point of view, who's more likely to worry about, the people on the mesa or the people that live off of the mesa, that control more or less a lot of development that comes on it. All this would do would be create an agency that would be comprised of the overlying users that overlie the basin that would be in a position to address water decisions.
Maybe this group is...
That's the whole point. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely
well,
right. This group right
the
here...
State of California get involved.
Well, how could the state of California get involved?
I thought that was an AB.
Right. AB 3030 is a creature of legislation. It was created by the state legislature, what, 1992? In 1992. And I think it was, from my perspective, it was a reaction to two things. One, the litigious nature of groundwater basin litigation and the cost and the expense of doing it was way outlined, so they wanted to develop another process to do it. Secondly, I think the state legislature felt that groundwater management was a goal for government and an achievable goal under the facts. If you take a look at most reports, you take a look at the health of most groundwater basins in the state of California, there's not a whole lot of them that are in really good health. I mean, there's a lot of them that have problems not only of, say, overdraft, but there's contamination of the water basins and a variety of issues that go along with wellhead protection. When wells are abandoned, there are natural siphon, at least that's what the experts tell us, back into the groundwater for accumulating contaminants in the groundwater basin. There's a lot of variety of issues, and the state legislature created AB 3030 as a means for local people that overlie the groundwater basin to come up with some management techniques. Now, the nature and extent of those management techniques are solely up to the people.
So they don't really have to go follow those guidelines.
No, they can pick and choose which one of those guidelines they want to exercise.
The POMO 3030.
Sure. Oh, exactly. Well, they would have, the way that would work is, let's just say if you had, let's say the rules and regulations of the groundwater management, we don't have them, but let's just say that you came up with in the plan that anybody that was going to put a well in that was going to discharge, and I'm not a farmer and I'm not a golf course man, but make it up, 1,600 acre feet a year, 1,700, 2,000, would have to be approved by the agency prior to getting a building permit or some type of development permit so that it could be reviewed by the overlying people in order to do it. I'm just pointing out a hypothetical. I don't really. That way, I'm not telling you what the plan would be or how the agency would regulate it. They have a variety of choices of how they would do it. The point is that it would be the people on the mesa that would be making those decisions as opposed to somebody else. It's a real loose thing. People can make it as loose as they want or as tight as they want. It's so broad that...
the power to go and work with the county as far as continued development.
That's
you,
right. You would have a...
And we're not being dictated to. You can only have one drink a day.
I don't know if it ever get down to one drink a day. Hopefully not. I mean, that would be a critical overdraft. But
I'm working with Chris and I live on the Mesa. And my whole problem with this thing that's going on is that I don't want regulation. And once you institute a regulated system, that regulated system is going to grow out of everybody's hands. You're not going to be regulated. You're not going to have a say in it. It's going to end up with pure bureaucracy. So I just can't see how you can all be talking about regulating the water. Isn't there a way of still hooking in with the California state water system? And why wasn't that done in the first place?
I'd like to make a motion, in that I'm not hearing one from the rest of the board, and I think it might fit the needs of everybody. If it doesn't, we can obviously have comments on it. But I move that we table further intent to plan a resolution in support of an AB 3030 program until such time as additional meetings and further information is available, quite likely until at least 1997, when additional information will be available from the state of California.
Second. We still have to take public comments. I mean, I want to point out about the just one fact about the DRW. Maybe it's not a fact, it's just an opinion thing. For somebody to put a timeline on when they think that DRW report is going to really come out, DWR, thank you, I get these letters mixed up all the time, I think would be a shortcoming. I would think that they've said 18 months for the last 4 years that we were going to have it. So this 1997 is being bantered around quite a bit.
We moved 1997 by just stating that quite likely until at least we remove that, then we just go to when additional information will be available from the state.
I didn't mean to interrupt your motion. I just meant to point out something that putting a timeline on that DRW report is trying to capture sand in a sieve. I mean, you just never know. DWR, I'm sorry, there I go again. I would say that it may be important, be more important to wait for it to resolve what powers may or may not be needed to be exercised. But it's not going to affect such issues. The DWR report is only going to address one issue, and that's overdraft. Okay. It's not going to address and boundaries. That's a good point. Very good point. But it's not going to address issues of water quality. It's not going to address issues of wellhead abandonment. So there are some things that you can say would be a benefit from this DWR report. But it's not going to define all the issues of groundwater management. It's going to help us define several of them, and maybe some what people would consider important ones. But it's not going to be the panacea of all the issues that goes with groundwater management.
But we're certainly not going to serve it here tonight either.
Sure.
And in my opinion, if we have the time for the meeting, I think when we all get together, I think then we can solve the problem. Sitting here in this kind of a situation, there's no way in the world we're going to solve it because individually we each have a different opinion. Let those opinions be collective, and I think then we can solve the problem.
This is Lord Bailey again. I have two short questions. Where can one review a copy of AB 1330?
30, right here.
Right.
We'll get you a copy before 30, you go home.
30, I have 30.
Okay.
Yeah, I can get a copy here.
Sure.
Very good. And would an AB 1330 board be an elected board from the people who are residents of the area?
I can answer that. That would be dependent on the plan. The plan would control that.
You mean we can allow people outside of the area to be elected?
I don't know if you can allow people outside of the district to be elected into it. I think the persons that would be have to be elected, if the decision was to make an elected board, the people that would have to be elected would, of course, have to be inside the AB 3030 district, however, whatever size it was. The question you answer is yes, it can be an elected board.
I would like to comment.
Sure.
Pass the microphone. Okay. We have two different
Mr. Simon, when you reiterated your motion at this point in time, I think it's very important that we have the CWR report before this board entertains any attempt to consider such a plan. Because I think it's clear that although, as Mr. Spite says, it's not going to deal with all the issues that groundwater management plan can deal with, it is going to give us information that I think is of paramount importance, and that is the overdraft and boundary issue, which I think is what we absolutely must determine before we know whether we need to have such a plan. So I would ask that the way you phrase your motion is very broad about groundwater basin. I would ask you to formulate your motion in such a way to ensure that until we get the DWR report, that there is no intent to study.
Okay, that's fair enough. I agree with that. I move that we plagiarize John Snyder's resolution and make it ours. Okay.
Not even second.
Peter Hesse, Clearwater, I'm an investment manager for Clearwater Nursery, and lucky to be a resident of Napomo and the fine climate here, and the amount of water that we have, and everybody in this room knows there's no crisis at the moment, and we feel that the NCSC is presenting this as a crisis situation by the fact that they want to put this through in a certain number of days. Therefore, I can't but help agree with Al Simon that there's plenty of time to decide on this, and I don't see any reason why we don't table this and take up the suggestion and second it and pass this until we have the DWR information. There's no overdraft at the moment, as far as the nursery goes is concerned. There may be some wells that are overdraft and have been for hundreds of years, but there's a lot of people in this room that have had some information that have lived here for a lot longer than I have and really know what's going on. Thank you.
Okay, then I'd like to read it one more time because I think I may now have what you just suggested. I move that we table further intent to plan a resolution in support of AB 3030 program until such time as additional meetings and further a DWR report is available. Information will be available to federal government. I have to change it a little bit, but the bottom part of it would be until the state of California provides their information. Any comments on that one? That should really effectively say it.
I'll second it.
Okay.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Simon and a second by Mr. Blair. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
We need to have a roll call.
Roll call. Okay. Roll call.
And you might want to take that board comment just as a for board's discussion. I don't know if there's
okay, ready?
I'd love to comment, but I can't.
Okay.
I'd like to say that I think this the motion is a bit too soon for the folks that are out there. I'd like to hear more of what you have to say.
What resolution are you referring to?
Al Simon's resolution.
Al Simon doesn't have a resolution.
Sorry, a motion.
We got his motion.
Yes.
Okay, we need a roll call vote for the motion.
There's no roll call vote. Us for considering the resolution.
Let me just point out the rule. The rule is that, for everybody's thought, is that if you have, we're required in our statutes to reflect the vote. Now, if you have a unanimous vote, you don't need to take a roll call. but since there was a dissenting vote, you need to take a roll call to ferret out the directors that were for it and the directors that were against it. So it does require a roll call, not because it's not a resolution, but because it was a split vote.
There's a bunch of items in there that we've got to receive from the California Special District Association. One of them is their annual conference, which is coming up in Huntington Beach from September 20th to 22nd. The agenda is there. As you can see, the theme is Trek. We got Mr. Hugo of Star Trek fame will be there at the meeting. If anybody's interested in going, it's something we can make arrangements for. Also, there's a procedure for if anyone wants to be on the board of directors of the California Special District Association, there's a forum. I don't know if anybody wants to be on. And also, there's the Risk Management Association, which they have electing the board of directors, and it's a proxy statement if the board wishes to address that this is optional. If they so wish to do, and also selecting the bylaws, if there's some position where right now all the members of the Board of Directors of the Special District Association are elected at large, and they are voting on a bylaw where they would be elected by region, and there's pros and cons in the literature presented to the board. The board can take some action on it, or just table the matter, or just pass on it. Now, if any of the board members wish to go on this, starting on September 20th, which would be a board meeting, whether you have a full form or not, it's another question. I wish the board wish to cancel that meeting so some of the members of the board wish to go. Or,
I can't attend there. My period. I'm just coming back from vacation, so I can't really go to the meeting. Is that important to go to?
Well, I have to. Someone is going to be paying for that.
I don't think so.
You look at the agenda and feel.
Okay, if anybody has any interest,
if anybody's
interested in running for the CSEA board, I don't know. I don't know if it's not. Okay. Okay, number five, fiscal year 95-96 budget.
Yeah, there's a draft presented to you. We've gotten a few comments in here from some people that have previously viewed it and want to know what the legal fees are and other revenues and some other questions that come up. And it would be published probably in the legal notices, probably cost them just around $100. Staff looks at it and answer it. Once it's published, we probably have a number, or maybe two phone calls, depending who reads the legal notice, attorney to. And then whether they would go that way. One thing, if we're looking at the sewer master plan coming down the line, and if there could be a rate increase, they'll say, look at this thing, but you've got a surplus, why are you having a rate increase?
Yeah, but that's not accurate. I redid this.
Oh, you did? Great.
Redid it.
Great.
And I did a lot of copies here. We really are running a deficit from the standpoint. Pull out our savings in my work. The $585,000 pulled out of the savings is not revenue. The draft one is on the left, the revised one is on the right, and the changes are in between. This is the one that is in our minutes, one on the left and one on the left.
Is this revised one saying that the other one, or is this, this is the budget?
Right.
Yeah.
This is the budget. Okay, the way it's set up on the left is the way it was set up, presented to us, is here on the left. And the revised one is just a matter of cutting down some of those miscellaneous revenue things and categorizing them a little bit, plus pulling out the transfer from reserve into the, onto the bottom where it should be. Because we really, we're, the budget set up for a deficit of $192,000. That's our budget.
You can't, we're, by law, we can't run a deficit budget. So you have to pull some reserves to balance.
Well, we're pulling some reserves right here. We're pulling some reserves, which is the location of that pull from reserves. We have an operating deficit with a pull from reserves to cover.
Well, you can pull from reserves for capital projects for certain expenditures, which are commonly done, and it's not, you don't operate wholly on revenue coming in from that fiscal year. And if you're saying that we have to operate wholly on revenue coming from the fiscal year, we would never build any capital projects. And so you have to pull from reserves.
Well, the capital projects are $295,000, so we should be pulling $295,000 from reserves if you want to say that. The debt service is said for our budgeted amount was $40,000, and the interest.
It's
was
probably assessment district number, summit station assessment district.
Yeah.
It was against the summit station. Is there a reason that it might be paid off and then we'd repay our own interest? In other words, you've got a lot of money in the bank that could pay this off. Put it back in from the interest that you saved.
No, well, there's, I'm probably mean, but I don't remember what the whole project cost, but there's no money in the bank right now to pay off that assessment. Oh, that was the summer station assessment. It's just, I think it's
point. That show up here?
No, I'm not sure.
Huh?
Yeah. That service interest on 18,000.
Oh, you think this is?
We were going to publish this at 5 cities time. Is that what we're going
to do? Well, I suggested that staff take a look at it and see if we can think I'll get with it right now. I can't review it and comment on it.
Yeah, it's just a big chunk of money.
What I think, what I don't know, what Katie, do you know what the 118 is reflected?
Well, I don't have a copy of our budget right here. If you pull up our budget, it shows the difference where it was, and I think most of it is the assessment.
Right. The assessment district, this will get a shorthand version of it, is they, when we form that assessment district, the assessment is a property tax lien on the property to pay for the bonds that was used to finance the installation of the water lines and the water system out there. So it may be showing up here as an interest expense, but actually it's just the people in Summit Station that would be financing that interest. It would not be a district-wide general fund.
There's an income item also on our budget. It was $142,000 income. That was the estimated amount of revenue that was put on that was on our budget.
For eight assessment districts?
For the assessment districts.
That's probably the income coming in from the bond issue.
Yeah, well, then that figure of $158,757 shouldn't be there.
Well, it could be. It could be.
It as a debit, and it's not a debit. It's really a credit.
Well, the 142 and the 158 were this year, then both of them, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I don't know that the 158 is totally that. There might be some other interest.
Well, I think if there is other interest, that should be pulled apart, and the majority of it, obviously, then is the assessment.
Yeah, I think probably
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, so we should pull that out, I would think.
Well, then the 142 would have to be.
Yeah.
See, our total revenue is our total revenue.
Yeah, but there's no point in showing those in terms of reading this.
Oh, they could
this
be told,
the
they could be wrapped up in their phone book and rock.
It seems to me that throughout the budget here, we're looking kind of guessing a little. So it does seem to me that the decision.
Will these be back for next meeting?
Well, everybody needs to decide. You know, we're going to put a stake in it.
I think this is what it could be that, but it was not good.
I had a bunch of people question the legal fees and call me up and say, how's come you guys are spending $236,000 on legal fees? And I tried to explain to them that it's part of it's that special thing because we're suing to get money back for bad pipes.
And,
yeah.
and we budgeted the total amount. Was good.
Right. Yeah,
which
and
is
that's
the
over
note
2 years.
Added to the bottom, is that should be stated, I think. It may have avoided a few calls.
Yeah.
Yeah, our regular counsel is a little concerned about that.
Yeah, and I mean, a couple of people said, why are you guys doing that? And I said, well, it's not really to the district. I said, we've got a bunch of bad pipes and we're trying to get our money.
It's really expensive to have
really expensive.
Well, yeah, I think maybe Director Mendoza has a point that we need to look at it and see, you know, your changes. And like I say, you know, a public entity, including the state of California, cannot operate in district.
Then we better change our budget.
Or should...
Well, you can pull... I think you can pull it from reserve. That's what California did last year.
Well, that's what this is doing. Same thing.
Right. I think...
It's just showing it in a different location.
If I have this right on the revenue side there, that $585,000 is basically the communicable bio-water line, I think. Isn't that basically that expenditure that we pulled from reserves to...
That is... No, it's a combination of
several different things. The fixed asset capital outlays that were put under there for $295,000.
Okay,
yeah, that's the audit
committee. But that'd be good. Maybe part of the finance committee. Make arrangements to come and sit down.
We could do that.
Have one subcommittee meeting.
Well, we just
you
don't
have
the staff. Yeah.
Okay.
Make a motion. We table it until we get it squared away and then put it in the paper.
Make a motion for a committee.
I'll make a motion that a subcommittee look this over and go over it, and then when it's
bring it back to the board.
Bring it back to the board, and when it's ready, we'll put it in the paper.
Okay. Second. And.
We need to public comment.
Public comment. All in favor? Opposed? All right, number two. Purchase a new vehicle. Budget is low.
Yeah, Madam Chair, the staff and the budget $14,000 to acquire a new vehicle, and based on last year, there was substantial rebates by the manufacturers, but they are no longer available this year. And so basically, we're under budget for approximately $2,000. We got estimates from two manufacturers, and therefore, it's called that approximately $15,000 needs to be in the budget, so we have $14,000. So, requesting that additional $2,000 be allocated to the budget to acquire the vehicle.
You got any 95 leftovers?
There's a contingency fund of 7,000.
No, but this is usually the end of the year sale when you know, you can do, if you're going to get any kind of deal, you're going to get it now. Ford and Chevrolet must have something left over. When you go by those places, you know, they're not empty. Why couldn't we get a 95 and save a couple thousand bucks?
Well, we can look at that.
No.
What about the contingency fund? I'm kidding, Richard.
Well,
both these were like equipment, too? Both, because it doesn't say, this says what the Ford was going to have, but there's nothing in here that says what the Chevrolet was going to have.
You mean
equipment
accessories? Market. Yeah, I need to put that on a spec sheet showing all equipment.
This guy's air conditioning and
right.
tanks
and
stuff like
and
that.
And to say that can be either 95 or 96.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Just for the director's information, this is the backup for the request for the budget transfer. It doesn't represent the cars that were going to be purchased. Is this the showing how staff arrived at the $2,000 figure for the budget transfer so that they can go out and get the bids to purchase the vehicle. This is this should not be interpreted as the bid sheets coming back for the board's review. It's just the backup for the request for the $2,000 transfer.
Well, I'd kind of like to see, you know, if we could get, like, I'm looking for a new truck right now myself. I'm going to buy a new truck. And I just sold my old one, and I'm looking at 95s, 96s. Now, I know I can buy a 95 cheaper. If I go down and tell them I want a new 96, they're going to say, well, you order it, and you pay the full freight or whatever the 96s are. If they got a 95 sitting there, they're going to have to cut me a better deal, and they're the same truck. Ford and Chevy hasn't changed. I like the Dodge better anyhow, but I think, you know, we ought to try these guys and see, you know, or try the two dealers in a Tascadero. I mean, I like to buy from Roy Grandy, but if those guys in a Tascadero cut us a better deal, I know Tascadero's got a lot of Ford sitting out there. I think we ought to, you know, have somebody call up and say, hey, what can you do us on a 95? If they can come in to $2,000 cheaper, that's $2,000 we don't have to spend.
Well, that's kind of up to them to go ahead and do that. They should be shopping for it.
I think so. I mean, I don't know too much about water, but I know cars and trucks.
I'm sure they are.
Right, you look okay.
I can do that. The only thing is, from corner of vacation, that's what you need is when I come back, I'll get you a truck like that.
You can take it on vacation.
Do you want something table?
No, just a... It shows that the justification of why additional money needs to be allocated for the purchase of these things.
Okay.
I personally don't believe we should transfer more money out of reserve.
I don't think so either. I think we get 95 for the same money.
Or I think the opposite. The opposite.
Or something.
Continue to come to work with.
Sure.
$7,000.
So, as I understand, the motion would be just to move $2,000 from the contingency fund into this account so that staff can go out for bid. The bids would come back to the board for approval, of course.
Yeah, I think the primary one is that trying to negotiate down on the price on 95.
Yeah.
And if that can be done.
And then if not, we'll buy 96, but if you can get a leftover, that's it.
Okay, so we need a motion for
I'll
that?
I'll make a motion
that
I come back and pass the money. That's what we're doing now.
And we undergo further negotiations, like trying to lower the price.
No, you just can't buy it. You have to get off your bids and bring it back.
Yeah, it's not for transfer.
Then we can transfer it at that time. That's part of their approval.
He said to making a motion to undergo further negotiations to try to get a lower price, and if not, then to transfer funds to the district.
So, in any event, staff would be required to bring back the specific bids for this board to review and to select the appropriate to award the contract to whatever dealership came back. So it'll be back before the board regardless.
Can we try the two guys in the task there?
Sure.
Sure. Try them too.
Okay, do I have a second on that?
Yeah, I second.
All in favor? Aye. Okay, number seven. Act 22 change, business equity, $10.
Hey, Madam Chair, Bob Newdall, is the developer of track 1759, and he has revised the track map to add two additional lots. The original map was submitted under track 1759, which is the second map in your packet, showing the old subdivision, which is at the intersection of Plains Road and Southland Street. He basically has moved the Kirk Vaughn off the site and created two additional lots. And by doing so, the county has established a new track number 2210, and the district has already issued a will serve letter for track 1759 for 8 lots. He wishes two more lots being to be added to that subdivision. It's our recommendation that we withdraw the attempt to serve letter for track 1759 because it doesn't exist anymore, and issue a new attempt to serve for track 2210 for 10 lots with the normal following conditions.
I got a couple questions on this thing. Just because I don't really know where I'm at here, but Princess Court, it shows what? That's a cul-de-sac?
Yes.
Now, is his property all on this side of Princess Court?
Yeah, he goes from the property line to the front road.
And he's going to, is Princess Court already in, or is he going to put Princess Court in?
He would be installing Princess Court and installing a water and sewer line.
Then who's on the other side of Princess Court?
That's all commercial there.
Commercial? Where?
Between Princess Court and the Frank Road. Highway 101.
Okay, I just thought we were up there in...
No, we're down by the sewer plant.
Oh, okay.
Southland and the Frank Road. Next to the freeway.
Is our sewer main close?
It goes down Southland.
Yeah, all right. The sewer's over there?
You don't have to extend up south and see the
sewer. The sewer's already in over there?
It comes down the Frank Road and then goes into the plant. You don't have to extend it up south and see the
Creek. Yeah, okay. I thought this was over on the other place. I didn't realize that. Okay.
He's going to put a large lot, six small.
Yeah, he put 10 lots in, and then the rest of the area he reserved for a dispensary commercial.
So the stuff between him and the freeway is going to stay commercial?
That's my understanding. And then he's using the road as kind of a buffer between the commercial and the residential.
Because I really got a bone with the county. I don't think all those houses are down there on the freeway should have been there in the first place. They should have been commercial down there. My house is close to the freeway, and you don't need all that noise coming through your living room. I think we needed something, just, you know, shopping center somewhere along in there, not a bunch of things on the houses.
Well, it's pretty watery. You need something going on.
Is there any representation in the audience?
Did we give them a reason? We've already given them a will serve in for 7-8 lots. Is that?
That's correct.
Okay.
With 1759. At the time, I guess Ms. Wisdom, when he has two more lots, changed the track.
Okay. But in other words, across the street from this Princess Court, then there's not more houses are going to go in there, so we're not going to be like that thing on the golf course where we approve 5 houses and then. Next guy come along and staff this for 15.
We don't have land use authority.
Yeah, okay. Just
I think the applicants changed on this too.
Yeah, the name of the people changed too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's now called Princess Enterprise.
Okay.
I'll make a motion that we rescind previous letter of intent to serve and issue a new track 2210 for 10 lots.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, approval of warrants.
This is good.
Does anyone have any questions with you?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Manager's report.
The board previously was requiring about a time and place to tour the district facilities. At the board's convenience, we can get a time as to the room that may be available.
Give me at least a week. Like 3 weeks. I can donate my motor.
Well, maybe do it after Labor Day because then all the kids will be in the U.S. Okay.
That's cool. And if you want to use my motor home, I'm more than happy to donate it so you don't have to rent a van.
I got a van up there in 7 weeks.
Oh, okay. That's all right.
And the public would be invited to go along with us, too. So the
would you adjourn meeting?
They're going to have to get their own van.
Right. They're disinvited.
Yeah.
What date are we looking at?
Sometime
after September.
Well, we bring it back to the next meeting. You could do it one or two ways. One is which you could like schedule this meeting to start at 6 or 5:30, and
well, they want to do it on a Saturday. When you guys want to do it, a weekend or?
I don't really care, but
how about Saturday the 9th?
No, I'm going to be back until after at least 11.
Oh.
Make it 23rd or 30th?
Yeah, that'd be cool. Right down in there would be wonderful.
Okay. Then probably the procedures that we would implement is the meeting before that, we would agenda it on that previous agenda and just announce it as an adjourned meeting.
Okay, so now it's September.
Because we could just table it.
Yeah.
23rd
or 30th?
What time?
It'd probably be, what, in the morning or? 9, 10 o'clock?
Right.
Saturday at 9.
Get a bird?
Can't sleep. Is that alright with the rest of the board?
Finally.
What is 9?
7 on the time?
9 a.m.
Okay. So, what do you think?
Well, that's why we'll probably either on the September 6th or the 20th, we'll confirm it up on either 23rd or 30th. Can you just, well, it gives us some flexibility if that's the month off, the 23rd or 30th.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is Bob Lowe's section.
Yeah, I like to get into garbage.
Well, it's another bureau.
Huh?
Another bureau.
Oh, yeah.
If you're interested, there's a whole packet here to look at.
Can I get a copy of one of those, maybe? Or is that the only one you got?
No, I got you both. If you want our emphasis in going to the meeting, the board could appoint representatives in this regard to go to the meeting or any other board members.
When's the meeting going to be?
It's,
I think I'm going to be on vacation or something. I'm interested in garbage.
August 9th. That's a
different thing. Get the old time machine over there.
It's probably on one of those.
Okay.
These are the minutes of the...
It's October 11th.
October 11th.
October 11th is the next meeting.
What's it?
Right.
So I think, this is just making people think I'm crazy, but I think that the Apple Canyon could run on garbage instead of the stuff that's running. If they scrubbed it and did all the right stuff, they could make a big industry and make a lot of money for San Luis Obispo County. Environmentalists who really want to do the environment, they could recycle, set up a whole thing out there and run that thing on garbage. The Japanese do it. I can't see why we don't.
PG&E is selling off all their power generating facilities.
Huh?
PG&E is selling off all their power generating facilities.
Well, I just think that...
And if they're doing it, you know there's a reason for it.
Right, because they don't want to get sued. I think when the thing goes kabooey. No, but I just don't think we can keep burying garbage in the ground. And how can you protect groundwater if you're going to bury all this junk in the ground over the groundwater? It don't make sense. You got to deal. I mean, you got to deal with the whole thing if you're going to deal with it. You can't deal with a little piece of it. But I like garbage.
Okay. Okay. Maybe Ken can report back to the board.
Okay.
The other end is IRS review in 1971 withholding taxes. The IRS bought the lien of up to almost $6,000 on payroll taxes. But at least they contacted them. They refused to budge and she went to arbitration. And I guess went over even past arbitration. And as you know, they resolved the aspect that now we do not owe them anything, but they owe us $971. That's the
thing. What are they going to do about 92? Is that come up yet?
I haven't heard anything about 92.
Well, at least they stated that there would be a problem the following 91.
As opposed to the dollar, what I paid them, I think they just took my check and mailed it to you guys.
That was all I paid them.
It's unusual when the IRS says that you owe them money and all of a sudden you come out and say, no, we owe you not.
Status.
We've been working on the status for a year and a half or something, and it's still not fully operational. There's a primary software problem. Notified the vendor that he has until the end of the month to get it up and running. If not, we'll probably come back and working with legal counsel, forming or declaring default and get someone else in here. I'm not sure. At the last convention, I went to the American Water Works Association. I stopped by and talked to a number of software manufacturers. And we've had one demo, have another demo come in tomorrow. And if these packages are equivalent or better than what we have, I would come back to the board and recommend that we change software and get the system up and running. It's running, but it has crashed. Last week, I think, a screw came loose, and literally a screw came loose, and shorted out the system. We were sitting there, and the screw rolled around and shorted out the system. And so we had to get that fixed up and back online. But the screw was loose. And so I'm not sure what cost we're looking at, but I'm assuming something like probably $10,000 to $15,000 to get it up and running.
If we get a new software package, is it possible that the current transmitters and receivers can be used?
Yes, we can use the same hardware and everything else, the radio things. We just change the package and that's the computer.
Maybe it's a crazy computer, too.
Well, the packages are all compatible right now. There's a number of them, what do you call it, Wonderware, but keep calling. It's a software package in there, but... Fix-O-Matic, and then the third one, the Fix-O-Matic, which we have in the demo tomorrow, is a multi-user system, but I think we're the same thing.
Multitasking.
But the other two are not, so there's an advantage of having multitasking where the process can go on and do some other things. And the cost is about the same, so we'll have a demo on that tomorrow, and depending on what the present vendor work performances by the time the board. And also, there's a flyer out town meeting coming up on August 31st at the Dan's school. They would like to have many board members being there. If the president has the board section there, and maybe staff can be up if they go to that.
Yeah, I'll try to be there.
I'd like to go down.
That's all I have, Madam President.
Okay. I was going to take a time in it. As far as computers, I know that Stephen is one of the items, two important things, but one of them is how well they stand behind them for backup.
Yeah.
If any other in the area that uses
the same thing, you know. Yeah. Okay. Director's time. Okay, then public comment. All right. Dean Case, I'm a station rower. I'd like to commend the Santa Maria Times. Problem over there, I gave way to the attention of the public because there was some results from that first article up here at the 24th of July. But last week, I think it was last week, y'all?
Yes.
That I was out there and it was last Friday. I went by there and all that garbage piled up on the side of the road. First, I was thought maybe somebody jumped the floor there, but it was all gathered in a bag and put beside the road. Then when I came back, I met up with Sam Panetti, the owner of the property that was being dumped on. Well, it's been dumped on Aiden Way, but he pushed over his property. And just like I thought, he was contacted by the county health environmental, Mike McGee, stated you have to come out and clean up that property, not the county's responsibility. And so he came down Thursday, and the homeless guy had read the article in the paper on the 24th. He took it on himself, and the two kids came out there and were raising all that stuff. As I was talking to Sam, he came back to finish up on Friday, and they were looking for somebody to start hauling it away. And I called South County Sanitation and talked to the chief over there. I think they said there was a sanitation truck there that took some of it away, and then George Tyler came along with the flatbed trailer, and I guess he took all the rest of it away, but it's pretty well cleaned up. Talked to John Wallow, the county engineer, after that, and said, well, what happened now that it's all cleaned up? If someone comes along there, they'll say, hey, it's cleaned up now, we're just going to dump some more stuff there. And the three property owners that are coming on Aiden Way, what rights do they have? You're putting the problem in their lap. You're not taking the problem on the county's responsibility. And he said that it's up to the property owners if they want to close that road, that Aiden Way says they can do that. And he sent me this map track for the Florida Land Track, 1923. Shows that that fence was dedicated, but Aiden Way was not dedicated. It was only for the use of the property owners that were running on that Aiden Way. So if they have any more dumping there, they're within their legal rights to close that section of the road off. So you can't have access to Pomeroy or Patrick. Now, Patrick can close the Pomeroy, which is what's going to happen. But I think that they're too eager for us to close that road so that they can jump in and do something. Situation, but they want us to be the ones that are leading the thing if you have to close that road. Because a lot of people in Blackwood, you know that, Al, are going to be unhappy if that road is closed. Yeah, really, because it's
a shortcut. But
that road is actually, according to this this map and explanation of the Aiden Way section, it says here that the other avenues, that's Aiden Way, and street are reserved for the use of present owners and the successors in interest. So that is not dedicated or anything. I've been affected by the county to take the road.
I know the county doesn't take any responsibility of any kind for it.
They just need to show what they were talking about. I don't know what their intent is, whether they plan to make an issue out of this.
I'd have to look at it.
It comes to a head where the people out there want to have access to this block. What they're going to do is they're going to come in and something like that.
I called fellow by the name of McGee at the county.
That's Mike McGee.
Yeah, and I talked to him, and I said, it's my impression that the county has to cover all boundaries within the county. It's their responsibility. I said, if there's a disaster there, it's your responsibility. It isn't the people that live there or anybody else. It's yours. And he finally agreed with that, that it is their responsibility, but he said in the interim, they don't have any money to do anything.
As long as it comes with environmental health, he has nothing to do with the engineers. The engineers have the jurisdiction over the road.
But they give you the same story about the money. Incidentally, Gene should be saluted and applauded because he put in $20 to help that woman.
Well, there are others put in that, you know, the guy was working out there. I wouldn't do that on $1 million. But he cleans up the kids who want to move up the center. Now, there was a follow-up article in the Academy of Times.
He did a nice job because I combined it a damn
well. But I'm afraid there was he made a statement in the article saying that he told me the same thing on Friday. While he was there, the guy came along in a truck with an old sofa on it. And they saw them, so he couldn't bury it. Well, he was planning on dumping it right there. And he just kept on going. He went around the corner. The sofa was in front of Boyer's property on Hickok now. And the sofa belonged to somebody down on Pomeroy.
Yeah, really.
He was down there. Did he get the license plate? Did he get the license plate?
He did. I did. I didn't see the thing happen.
During the trip.
Well, I haven't seen the homeless guy.
If they're going to tell the clients, they're going to put up a barrier there, put a gate in, because we need access.
Well, that's what they probably do. They'll probably come with it comes to that, but there's two property owners that are for that already if it comes to that. Because they have access from other ways they might come to their property.
Yeah, but we need access for our water.
I know.
Yeah, they can do like I did on the freeway. Because I did the same thing on the freeway. I put gates at both ends, I locked it off. And I gave you guys a key. And you can, they can block it off because I had the same problem when I blocked it off, and that was the end of it.
You're right.
You just close it.
But I think the county is looking for the money to do their dirty work for them as usual, and then they're going to come to the rescue. Oh, we'll take care of that.
You can give them a key in the fire department, a key in there. Keep the key yourself.
That's all I
have. Shut her down.
Okay. Any other public comments? We're
going to
adjourn the closed session.
Yes, right, Madam Chair, we're going to be adjourning to closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9. Discuss litigation entitled Pomo Community Service District versus Shell Oil et al. Case number CVO 77387.